This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
We haven't gotten to any of the Hall of Fame stuff from this weekend. We'll do that later on in the program. David Ortiz was good giving his Hall of Fame speech. You know what this weekend was, though, Dennis, and not being a huge baseball fan yourself, it was the anniversary of two of the most memorable moments in baseball history. The Pine Tar game was, I believe, Saturday. The anniversary of the Pine Tar game was Saturday, 1983. George Brett homers off of Rich Gossage late in the game. I think it was the ninth inning. I think it was top of the ninth. To tie a Royals-Yankees game. Or maybe it put Kansas. I think it tied the game. And they ruled him out because there was too much pine tar on the bat.
Yeah.
It was too far up the handle, and it completely covered the plate. So they ruled him out. The Royals won the appeal. Brett won the appeal. They actually resumed that game later on in the year, and I think the Royals came back to win. But that was an out, and the Yankees ended up winning the game at the time. The next day, yesterday, was the, in 2003, the brawl between the Red Sox and Yankees, in which it's a very famous picture. Jason Varitek has a handful of Alex Rodriguez's face.
That I remember that moment.
That was a great moment in baseball history.
I'm not going to lie. Fell in love with Jason Varitek that day.
It's like,
not even a Red Sox fan, but I fell in love with Varitek that day.
I mean, that's a great historic rivalry in sports, not just baseball. And the thing about it is that was also an era where Boston was becoming great. The Yankees were really on the tail end of their heyday, but as it turns out, in the middle of a run of no World Series titles. They didn't win any between 2000 and 2009, I believe they resumed. So 1 through 8, 8 straight years of no World Series title, which of course, cry for them. But they seem to run into each other in most years. 2003 was the Aaron Boone home run off of Tim Wakefield.
Aaron bleeping Boone.
Exactly. 2004, Boston rallies from 3-0 down in the series in the ALCS to beat the Yankees. The bloody sock was in game 6. So that was a pretty heady time for Yankees Red Sox baseball. Anyway, so those two anniversaries were this weekend.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into 3 colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. Are you willing to do that or that? Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you. Your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
All right, before we get to Will, let me ask, you're a Madden guy, right?
Yeah, I play it.
Okay. So
I'm not deep into it like some people are.
Right.
But I do enjoy it.
Okay, well, I don't play.
That's fine.
So, and I've asked you questions about the player ratings.
Yes.
Right? So here's what I don't get, because I read through some of the player ratings. So am I to believe that Tom Brady is better than Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Why?
Super Bowls.
Why am What does that matter? Isn't the game supposed to be reflective of like current talent?
Oh, you're talking about the actual game. Oh, I thought we were doing a first take
segment. No.
So in terms of the game, yeah, it's all supposed to be based off of accuracy, basically a lot of your physical measurables, but they throw an algorithm in there as well with things such as like IQ and those kinds of things as well. So but there's all kinds of different things that factor into an algorithm that they throw in there, speed, endurance, arm strength, accuracy, precision throws. Like they even like started adding categories like, I don't know, like playmaking ability, right, those kinds of things.
Okay. Is Tom Brady really better than Aaron Rodgers at the physical part of this game?
No.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Here's the other thing. Because it shouldn't just be Brady and Rodgers. Is he really better than Patrick Mahomes?
No.
I don't think he's better than Josh Allen either. How is Patrick Mahomes third and Josh Allen fourth? Right?
Yeah.
And if we're talking about some sort of a lifetime achievement component here, how is Joe Burrow fifth?
Great question.
Like, I have questions, and I actually, so it forced me to go through, because ESPN.com listed the top 10 at each position. It forced me to go through these lists and go, why is this? What is this about? Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
We love him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? One of the best players in the league.
Big fan.
Certainly, if not the best player at his position when healthy. I mean, there ain't, frankly, I don't think there's anybody better than him at the position when he is healthy.
The vascular Christian McCaffrey with the triceps bulging.
Very nice. So, but McCaffrey has played 10 total games mm-hmm. in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's not like in those 10 total games, he has been Walter Payton. Because he is not, it's not been as good because he has been banged up. Now, he's been great, but he hasn't been top of the charts great.
Sure.
He's still got a 96.
Yeah. Again, it's all supposed to be based off, like, different measurables, not how much he played.
It's not based on any measurable based on what I'm looking at.
That's also a good point.
It's just based on how do I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, just to go back to Tom Brady, is Tom Brady in charge of player ratings?
He might be, actually.
I mean, Julian Edelman was 11th in wide receivers. Kidding. He's not. Kidding.
About to say, it wouldn't surprise
Kidding.
Me.
Yeah, he's not in the league, right?
No, but it still wouldn't surprise
right.
me.
But, so I have questions about this. So let me ask this. By the way, McCaffrey was the third running back behind Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
How is Justin Tucker not a 99 kicker?
His lack of route running skills.
He's a kicker.
And his hands.
So, if you're a kicker, and your name is Justin Tucker, like this Justin Tucker, not random Justin Tucker, but if you're a kicker, your job is to do what?
Kick the ball.
Right. Through the uprights for points.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever done it better. Nobody today is doing it better. Tucker's got, I don't know, he's basically almost automatic from 55.
On anything inside 60, pretty much.
Has that not a 99 as a kicker?
I don't know.
Like, I'm not lining him up at outside linebacker.
You could.
So I must be missing it. I must be missing we only give 99s to these people. Like, do you have to bench press like 285 pounds?
30 times?
Once.
Oh, okay.
He might be able to do that. I don't know. But how do you not get a 99 if you're Justin Tucker?
I don't know.
Brian Burns was not in the top 10 of edge rushers. Did you notice that?
I did not.
I mean, I thought he'd be there. I thought he'd be toward the bottom of the 10, but he was not there in terms of edge rushers. Best wide receiver was Devontae Adams.
Okay.
Look, I've been saying this about Devontae Adams for a while. I think Devontae Adams is great. I think a good chunk of Devontae Adams was the quarterback throwing to Devontae Adams.
It helps.
Right? And there's actually Devontae Adams news, sort of. We'll get to that in a minute. But who do you think the best wide receiver is in football?
Oh, that's I'm not going to lie. That's a little bit of a tough one.
It is. There's so many good wide receivers.
A lot of really good ones. I mean, look at Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams.
See, I think it's him. I think it's Diggs.
Okay.
I think Stephon Diggs is the best wide receiver in football.
I wouldn't argue against
that. He was fifth. Hill was third, I believe. I don't remember who. DeAndre Hopkins was fourth. Amari Cooper was 10th. Question.
Okay.
Isn't CeeDee Lamb better than Amari Cooper now?
Maybe.
I think Dallas had sort of made the switch to 88, who got number 88 for a reason, is the guy.
Yeah.
And that Amari Cooper became expendable. Now, there was a salary benefit to that as well, but like I think CeeDee Lamb is better than Amari Cooper. Again, I think the player ratings are sort of random at this point. I really do. And I do wonder if Brady is behind the ratings. I just, look, Tom Brady is a marvel. He is still obviously very good. But you know what Tom Brady can't do that the three quarterbacks that are behind him, Rodgers, Mahomes, and Allen can do? What Brady cannot do that they can is that they can elevate a lesser team. He can't. Because he's proven it. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, before leaving New England for Tampa, Brady couldn't elevate a mediocre team. They were just mediocre. Those three other guys, they're going to make mediocre teams dangerous because of who they are. Simply because of who they are. The NFL has essentially rescinded a rule that made no sense. We'll tell you what that rule is next. Devontae Adams not only has been voted the number one wide receiver according to Madden. Of course, Madden's ratings appear to be random. They're randomly selected sort of in the way that lots are drawn for the World Cup. Like these eight teams are put in lot one, and these eight teams and next best eight teams are put in lot two. So you're sort of grouped, and then we randomly select.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
But Adams, who was traded from the Packers, where he played with Aaron Rodgers, to the Las Vegas Raiders, where he will now play with Derek Carr, who, by the way, was his teammate at Fresno State while in college. So there is a relationship there. This is what Adams had to say to CBS HQ, CBS Sports HQ, a couple of months ago, right after the trade. This is what Adam, was it more recent?
Yeah, it was like last week.
Was it really? I made a mistake. The mistakes keep coming today. So this is what Adams had to say first about Rodgers to Carr.
The shift like from that passer to Derek Carr and then, you know, just your acclimation to I mean, anytime you change quarterbacks from, you know, a Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, both are great players and great to be around. So I'm just enjoying that process and getting better myself, you know, trying to do as much as I can to help these guys go out there and win as many games as we can.
All right. So real quick, he said anytime you go from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, there'll be an adjustment period, basically. I'm just paraphrasing here. Of course, the example he used, Stabler to Rich Gannon, should have been the clue that he didn't mean that Derek Carr was a Hall of Famer because Rich Gannon isn't a Hall of Famer. And I'm not even sure Ken Stabler is, to be honest. Anyway, here's Adams, who now decided he needed to clarify, and I don't think he's wrong, and I like the way he did it.
This, just so this can be everywhere as well. And being a rapper is very vital. I say one of the, you got to have the bars, obviously. You know you got to have the bars. You got to have, the lines got to be there. But a very, very vital and critical piece of being a rapper is the delivery, right? I wasn't a great rapper the other day. What I'm not going to do is take away from that statement because why is Derek not a Hall of Famer, you know? But what I meant, I left one key word out of there because that's not exactly what I meant, but I do think that Derek's career is Hall of Fame worthy. And why not? I mean, you know, people can say that about this guy, that guy. What I would say is, does he have the MVPs right now? You know, no. Has he won a Super Bowl? Not yet. You know, that's obviously what we're chasing. But what I meant to say was, even if you go even Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's an adjustment. You know, I meant, like, even if it is Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, there's going to be an adjustment. I wasn't saying Hall of Famer Aaron to Hall of Famer Derek. So I'm not retracting my statement at all. Like I said, Derek's.
He did a good job of explaining it. But again, he didn't even use the example he used in the first clip. Wasn't even Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So he just happened to choose two Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Good for Devontae Adams. By the way, I think that Derek Carr has become a much better quarterback over the last few years. Really has. And I think a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, I think Derek Carr was, you know, he was just okay on a team that probably had better weapons. Now, I think Derek Carr might be a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Of course, then again, Lamar Jackson wasn't on ESPN's list of the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League. All right, here's a new rule. Or an old rule that has been gotten rid of. I don't even know how I've explained it so far. Gosh, this show is a disaster today.
I blame our friend Ovius.
No. Nobody's to blame. I don't blame other people.
Okay.
But mwah. A few years ago, the National Football League banned second helmets.
Yeah.
So you could use, like, an alternate pattern. But the helmet had to stay the same.
Yeah, you can put different stickers on it.
So if you're, like the Giants, the last couple of years, have occasionally gotten rid of their, like, lowercase NY on their helmet and replace it with the all uppercase Giants across. They've done that a few times. That's when they decide to wear kind of throwback uniforms. Throwback to the, basically, to the 80s and 90s. So, as long as your helmet color stayed the same, you could do what you want. When the Steelers have worn those Bumblebee uniforms,
yeah,
they've just kept the helmets the same.
Those.
They just take the Steeler decal off, right? The Bears have done the same thing. When the Bears have worn throwback uniforms, they've just removed the C's from the side of the helmet, mm-hmm, and just gone with that color. But you haven't been allowed in the last several years to change the helmet color because the NFL says not safe. What? You don't have more than one helmet to use?
Yeah, that was a safety thing because apparently their reasoning was that the helmet would form for your head, so therefore it would help you better protecting against concussions.
Well, yes, so would the other helmets,
yeah,
form to your head. Unless the other helmets were bought at Toys R Us.
May have been.
the National Football League has said, you know what, that's kind of silly. Plus, it's fun. So there are a bunch of new helmet options coming to the NFL. Would you like to know my favorites?
Yes.
Of course you would. We set that up. Number five, the Bears have an orange helmet coming. It looks dope.
Yeah.
It does. It looks great. Now, I think the Bears have the best uniform in the sport. The Bears navy with navy helmet, navy top with the numerals and the white pants, mm-hmm. best uniform in the NFL. But I like the orange helmet. Number four, Cardinals have a black helmet with an offset cardinal head more towards the back. It looks awfully cool. The Jets have a black helmet, and I think the Jets' black helmet is very cool. Of course, the Jets' green looks like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, so I might be grading on a curve there. Mm. Number two, I think the Panthers' black look is great.
Yeah.
And it's sharp. On the low, I don't really like the silver. So I like the fact that they will wear it in all black. And the best one, the Bengals' white helmet with the same tiger pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, that looks awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not here for your, well, why don't you call yourself the Zebras? Like, dude, don't get literal with every team name. The helmet looks great.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.